I want to become a professional, not only in soccer, but also in life.
How's it, and a wonderful good day to our dear listeners. A very special episode of the Next Jambofana podcast lays ahead of us. This one is special due to my guest, definitely, and because of the setup of this podcast, which is a little bit different compared to the ones we have produced so far. So without my guest, as a matter of fact, our organization, Jambofana, wouldn't exist today. He started Jambofana in 2010, the year of the World Cup in South Africa. Back then, he taught soccer to 8 private school kids. Now, in 2019, he's the director of an international operating NGO, supporting children from disadvantaged backgrounds by being such an inspirational person to me and to so many other people. I welcome Bernd Steinhage.
Wow, what a flattering intro, Lennart. I don't know if I deserve such kind words. Thank you.
I definitely think you do, Bernd. The two of us, we've walked a long road together. So I know you now for more than 4 years. I came to Jambofana 5 years after you started the organization. And now I'm really glad to do this podcast with you and also to share a little bit more of your personal life and my personal life, because after you introduced yourself and explained the way of how Jambofana started, we will get to a little game, let's say, and it's called Question Memory. So we'll pick random questions we put into 3 different sections. It's about South Africa, Jambofana, and our personal lives. And afterwards, we hope that the listeners out there get to know us more better. And Bernd, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. And very thankful that you have inspired this whole podcast series with Jambofana.
That's not too much of a big deal. It's always fun. It's a great project. And yeah, the feedback we got so far from the others is truly a motivation to produce more and more and more, because we have so many interesting figures and people and success stories we need to talk about. And I think it's nice content for the people out there who want to get to know us better. And you're feeling good. You had a good breakfast today?
Actually, I didn't have breakfast because I'm currently fasting, so I don't eat before 12, but I have eaten, and I don't know if it was a breakfast or a lunch or a brunch, but yes.
Of course, I know that you haven't had breakfast because I did the intermediate fasting 2 weeks with you together. It was quite hard. You keeping up. Why exactly do you do it?
I'm doing it for various reasons. The main reason is actually to test my energy levels, because I feel that normally between 11 and 2, most days, weekdays, I have a bit of an energy slump, and I don't know what exactly causes that. So I thought I would test the intermittent fasting, which a friend of mine mentioned he was doing. However, he's doing a full keto fast, which I'm not, because I don't go 100% according to the keto rules and criteria, but it's mainly to test my energy levels, and they have been a lot better with a 16-hour window of no eating and an 8-hour window of eating mainly healthy food.
All I can say, it's definitely worth it a try. It's crazy how the body adapts to that experiment. Guys, try it out. And yeah, Bernd, you are a really energetic person. You do lots of sports. And what you do for Jambofana since back in the days has a requirement of lots of energy. And please give us a short brief of how you started Jambofana. Why does Jambofana exist today?
A short brief of why Jambofana exists today. It's a tough one to sum up, but I'll give it a go. You let me know if it's becoming too much info. So long story short, born and raised in South Africa, After having finished high school here, I moved to Berlin, Germany, to pursue a career in professional soccer, which I never really managed, or at least I didn't get to the level that I wanted to. I got to a pretty decent level where I got paid to play and had a contract. Unfortunately, I ended up studying parallel to the soccer career, which was one of the best things I could have done in hindsight. After 5.5 years in Berlin, I spent half a year in Madrid, which was a part of my studies at the time, where I managed to become proficient in Castellano, in Spanish. Then I moved back to Berlin and signed another contract for a year with a club I was playing for, Tennis Borussia Berlin. And during that final year, I realized that this is not somewhere I see myself in the long term. My heart was yearning for South Africa, for home. But I felt that before I head home, where I will probably spend the rest of my life, there was another adventure somewhere out there that I was craving for. So I was sitting at work in Berlin one day and I Googled internship opportunities in South and Central America because of the fact that I'd become proficient in Spanish. And an opportunity popped up in Nicaragua, which was a country I'd never even heard of. So I immediately Googled Nicaragua and did a bit of research on the Sandinista movement and the communists back in the day. And I said, wow, that sounds like an adventure. I'm going. So I committed to a year of voluntary work in San Juan del Sur, which is a little village 40 kilometers west of Managua on the Pacific coast. And while I was there working in rural areas, at primary schools mainly and high schools, trying to implement a sports program with kids who had sport or physical education as a compulsory part of their educational curriculum. However, the schools didn't have the resources to actually realize this. So the NGO that I worked for gave me a few resources and a motorbike, and I would go to the schools and actually do the practical part of physical education with the kids. So we'd play sports, baseball, soccer. And due to the lack of infrastructure and funding, you know, we would use coconuts and leaves and bricks as cones because we didn't have cones to mark fields, let alone fields. We would do this on the road. So we'd have to move off the road when trucks came or cars. But the kids loved it. And we actually managed to write a document for the teachers, which they're hopefully still using today, in order to make the whole program more sustainable. And after that year in Nicaragua, I kind of had an epiphany. One day, when I was in Brazil with a friend looking at a sports complex, and I said, this is what I want. I want a sports complex like this for the kids in South Africa. And what I've been doing this past year in Nicaragua goes hand in hand with a sports complex because the kids have so much joy and fulfillment out of doing sport in a safe environment.
Let me quickly interrupt you there. I mean, as a South African growing up in this country, you pretty quickly get to know and get to experience the problems South Africa faces due to poverty and many people who are unemployed and the situations in the townships. So, how was it for you to discover something similar abroad in another country? Was it something you expected? Was it something you were aware of? How was the experience seeing something like this in other countries with a different culture involved?
It was very interesting. And I think South Africa kind of prepared me for that in a way, because a lot of the Europeans and American volunteers that I shared the experience with were very shocked because it was totally different circumstances compared to what they were used to at home. But having grown up in South Africa and played soccer on quite a high level, I was used to going into the townships and the poorer areas. So it didn't shock me. As a matter of fact, what surprised me positively about the poor circumstances that are a given for probably 80% of the population in Nicaragua. Side note, it's the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere after Haiti. Was the fact that the people had a lowest common multiple, which in South Africa is not always the case, and that LCM is the language, the Spanish language, which makes communication a lot easier. And in South Africa, often I find the discrepancies are exaggerated due to the lack of having that common language.
100%.
So it didn't shock me. It actually surprised me positively, and it was amazing being able to connect with these people due to the fact that I could speak Spanish, and that's the only language they speak, at least in that part of Nicaragua.
Okay, and here you are now, a young South African, a lucky South African who gained lots of great experiences in Germany, getting paid for playing soccer, something you must have loved, would you still love? And then now being faced with the situation going back home with that idea. And what happened then?
So, I think I left off mentioning the epiphany in Brazil, wanting to combine sport, soccer specifically being our favorite sport, with something more sustainable and something more substantial that would give the kids not just 2 or 3 hours of practical lessons on the field, but something they could take with them for life, you know, something that could prepare them for life. So I didn't actually come back after that year thinking I would start an organization. I just came back knowing I'd want to train soccer, but that it wouldn't be for the short term. And as I started at a private school, which you mentioned earlier, with 8 kids who actually paid a little fee to play, more and more kids that didn't have the opportunity to pay would walk past the school and watch us training, asking whether they could join. And of course I said you can join. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you can pay, what you can't pay. If you're disciplined and you don't disrupt the actual lessons, of course you can join. And from that, it kind of grew to 20, 30, 40, 50 kids. And then we had the World Cup in 2010, and all of a sudden we had 80 kids. And out of those 80 kids, more than half were not paying, but they were developing and they were disciplined and they would be there on time and they really wanted to play. And then I realized that there is a lack of English proficiency, knowing that in South Africa, if you want to pass your educational career, being primary and high school, you have to be proficient in English because all state exams at the end of high school are written in English. So I thought to myself, this is where soccer can be the draw card, but now we can actually give the kids a bit more by hiring an English tutor, which I didn't have the money for. But I knew it had to be done. And that's where Young Bafana started to grow an educational aspect, organically grew into this whole idea of coaching soccer.
What would you say, how big was the influence back then regarding the FIFA World Cup in South Africa? Would you say there would still have been interest of kids playing soccer? Or let me ask you like this, would Young Bafana exist without having the Young Bafana World Cup in South Africa? What do you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. So soccer is the number one sport here anyways, especially amongst the people that don't have the opportunity to play golf and hockey and cricket because those sports cost a lot of money. You need equipment, whereas soccer, you just need a ball and a piece of land, whether it be a road or a field, you don't need much. So yes, to answer your question, even without the World Cup, Young Bafana would have been exactly where it is today still.
Yeah. So maybe please picture for the listeners out there the situation of sports and like which groups follow what kind of sports and how important soccer is to South Africans.
So soccer, or as the Brits would say, football, is numbers wise definitely the most popular sport in South Africa due to the accessibility. In South Africa, you have big discrepancies between various ethnic groups due to the history of the country and some very unfortunate occurrences in the past. So the private schools where children pay to go, they are presented with opportunities to play hockey, rugby, cricket, swimming, tennis, because their parents are in a position to pay. Whereas a lot of the schools in the not so fortunate parts of South Africa, these sporting codes aren't even an option because the kids can't afford the equipment. So soccer becomes the sport of the poor naturally in South Africa as a consequence. And due to that, it's very nice because it can be used as a tool to get people off the streets to do something they love, irrelevant of your situation at home, if you come from money or no money. So on the contrary, even the kids with money, they can also play soccer. So it works both ways, and that's why it's such a lovely, lovely tool for Young Bafana to bring children of different ethnic backgrounds, different languages, different cultures together.
I think what you said now is exactly what many people are looking for who are trying to get involved with Young Bafana, who coming to us from all around the world to help us to see that. I think this is a big part of the outcome which we gained throughout the years. Our hashtag is changing lives, and it's a truly inspiration to be part of that. Still, what I always realize is that we are facing always a challenging task because we are working a little bit against society in terms of getting the poor out of the places, involving them in the society with better privileged people, and not everyone is a fan of that. And I sometimes think it must be easier for organizations in other countries where all the people would love soccer or would have soccer as the number one sport. And yeah, this I think is also something which is ongoing. But how do you think would how did soccer through Young Bafana in this region changed its reputation?
Yeah, it's a very good point. To add to that, a lot of the schools here and a lot of the peoples are still quite opposed to soccer because it's associated with poor people and people that maybe come from less fortunate backgrounds, which is actually quite sad because it's such a lovely sport.
It is.
So Young Bafana has definitely lifted the perception of soccer and what change, social change and development can come with it in the greater Heidelberg area. And people are hopefully starting to realize that if your child decides not to play sport A because they want to play soccer, it's not a negative thing. Whereas 20, 30 years ago, you probably weren't even allowed to speak about soccer at a private school in South Africa due to the political system. And just to quickly, maybe for our listeners, before we get on to the memory, to finish off the Young Bafana inauguration and how it all happened. So the eight kids grew to 20, 30, 40, 50, and we brought in an English tutor who I paid an hourly rate to sit down twice a week at a school. But here we are today with over 150 kids, two buses. We have nine staff, permanent staff. We're registered in various countries. So it's come a long way, and it was never planned or set out to become or develop into the organization it is today.
It is, and it always will be a really inspirational story and a great start. And yeah, I think there's still a long way to go, and we'll see what the future holds ready for us. So yeah, let's get to our next point. Let's get to our question memory. So in front of us, we have three stacks of questions put into three different categories. The first category is South Africa. The second category is Young Bafana, and the third category are personal questions. So we might have already spoken about some questions which will appear now, but we will just over, what's the word? We'll just skip them. We'll just skip them, and so it will be
Leonard, do I get
one
to
after
ask you
another.
questions as well, personal questions? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that follow your lifestyle.
Yes, it's meant to be for the listeners to also get to know a little bit more about myself.
Wonderful.
And so it will be one after another. And both of us, we have two jokers.
Okay.
So one joker is to give the question also back to the other one.
Okay.
And the other joker is to pass on the question.
Okay.
Okay, and some questions we'll see. Due to the content, will need to be overhanded to the next one. So let's play scissor, paper, rocks for who to start.
Okay.
Okay, scissor, paper, rocks. Okay, scissor, both. One, two, three.
We call it
Okay,
ching chong cha, by
ching-ching. Yeah.
the
Same to we, actually. I don't know where that name
way.
comes from. So I won now. And okay, first category, I think let's go ahead with the personal questions. I choose one of the personal questions.
Is this one? That's two, that's
Yeah,
three.
yeah. The best soccer player of all time is who?
Cristiano Ronaldo, no doubt.
Why? Why is he better than Messi?
He is a different player, but he is just phenomenal because I don't recall any negative headlines from him, which is very important because I see professional players as role models to our kids. The work rate he puts in, the stories you read and of the coaches that say he's always the first on the training ground, the last to leave, the fact that he lost muscle mass to maintain his agility and speed, and just the level that he's consistently performed on is absolutely mind-blowing. And I read a stat the other day that he's actually scoring more goals per minute when he's in and around the box now than he was 5 seasons ago, despite his age. So he's just an absolute, greatest of all times for me.
Okay, it's your time. South Africa, and with one of personal questions you can choose.
Let's go with South Africa. Do I get to ask you? This is great because this is going to be heard from a non-South African's perspective. Name three incredible attributes of South Africa.
The mix of culture you have in this country. There's a reason for South Africa being called as the Rainbow Nation, and it's just a country I think I will never stop exploring because it's lovely to discover this different parts, this different cultures, different languages, different parts of South Africa. So that's number one. Another attribute I'd say, definitely the climax, the weather. Down here,
Climate.
the climate down here in South Africa is just amazing. In summer, especially in Cape Town, you have always this fresh breeze, and it's just an uplifting place. And connected to that, the third attribute would be, I'd say, the nature, the value of nature, and how strongly South Africa is connected to nature, and especially Cape Town. I haven't seen every part of South Africa yet. I want to, but especially in the Western Cape, it's just great to be that connected to nature and to do all those great outdoor sports and checking out so many different cool places.
Wonderful. So
Yes.
Leonard is officially a South Africa ambassador.
I'm trying
I
to
couldn't have
be.
said that better myself.
Okay, I'll choose a question out of the category Young Bafana. The biggest academy achievements question mark.
Achievements, plural.
Achievements
That
or
is.
achievement. Anyhow, it can take a while now.
Yeah, that should be plural because there's so many. I think we've superseded all expectations and everything that was set out in a strat plan, which I drafted in 2014 or 15, we've achieved without deliberately working towards a single goal. Rather, we have a philosophy which we follow, which is endless. Wow, so the biggest achievements, I'll name three. One is Bazuka, who's now playing for Free State Stars and has his second official professional contract, which was never set out as the main objective or a objective of Young Bafana. And now we've, as a consequence of our work, have a child who's playing the professional ranks. We have another boy who's at a professional club. We have two boys that have moved to America on scholarships, so they are getting a great business degree in the USA whilst doing what they love, which is playing soccer at colleges. And we have eight kids on academic scholarships at private institutions in Somerset West, which they would never be able to afford if it wasn't for Young Bafana and people like you that come and help and others. So that academic achievement and the scholarship program that has grown out of Young Bafana is something that makes me sleep extremely well every night.
Well said, well said. Okay.
I will use
Yes.
my joker at this stage and
Okay.
throw that question right back at you. What do you think are some of the biggest achievements of Young Bafana thus far?
Okay, so you named quite a few now, which are quite huge, because again, changing lives is the claim we use, is what we want to do. And those are the personal lives which have been so uplifted by the academy work. And this is most important because it's about the kids. But especially when it comes, for example, to all our volunteers who come to South Africa, people who will work for us abroad, it's also quite influencing their lives. And it's just great how Young Bafana multiplied in the heads of the people and the people who are willing to help us. Because when I started in 2015, I mean, the academy was much smaller than it is today, still having great results, but now so many more people are involved. So if you would bring all the people together who are responsible for the social change and the great goals we could achieve for our kids, you could fill up a really big stage with all those people. And it's just great to see for me. And that's definitely a big achievement, how many people are already involved with Young Bafana. And just in total, the extension and the exposure we gained in South Africa and in Germany and other countries in the world. And that's for me also a great achievement of the Academy, because this will lead to many more other opportunities in the upcoming years. For example, we, as you know, we are trying now to get a team next year to Europe to give that unbelievable experience to our kids. And this wouldn't be possible without the help of those people who are now involved with us.
So, can I ask you a question at this stage?
No.
If my question would have been, what is your biggest goal for Young Bafana next year? Clearly, you have observed the benefit that others have who come into the organization and work together with us, whether it be a volunteer, a full-time staff member, a non-executive advisory board member. Everybody benefits. It's not just the kids who benefit. It's not just to come in, get something for free and be happy. It's way, way deeper. But if you had one objective for next year, which I could realize with a magic wand right now, what would it be?
Yeah, it's to make that travel happen, to make it happen, to get the boys to see Germany and Austria, and to meet up with the people from Germany and Austria who are helping us throughout the years, because this would be a great thing of giving back to them. And I just want to see the boys walking into a plane. I just want to see the boys standing somewhere in Germany playing soccer in Germany against local teams, because we had two boys already now who went to the World Cup last year. And if you take a look at the development those two boys had, and just the way it motivates them and inspires them on a daily basis, you could see not just on the field but also beside the field, it can have such a great impact. We all know that, or hopefully, we all know, many know that traveling increases your experiences in life, and you get to learn so many things. And for the boys to be there and to being there with the boys, this is a great objective.
Yep, maybe we can get some girls as well to join the travels.
This would be good. This would be good. I mean, this is also quite. Let me ask you this question. It's not part of the stacks, I know, but many do ask us about girls soccer, because so far we have programs designed for males, but now in the last years, in the past years, we had girls joining us, and there are now girls permanently in our social programs. How is your thinking of involving more girls at Young
We
Bafana?
have always had our doors open for girls, and actually in 2010, when I started coaching alone, at one stage we had almost a 50-50 split of boys and girls. However, when the girls reach 11, 12, 13, they don't want to mix with the boys anymore. And unfortunately, some of the girls started fading out of the program. But if we had more funding and opportunities, it would be amazing to have the exact same amount of girls' teams as we do for the boys. However, unfortunately, at the moment, we do have more boys. But wow, what an absolute pipe dream. And if anybody would be willing to support, then one day hopefully it'll be 50-50 with boys and girls.
I'm sure we will get to that point. And yeah, guys, if there's somebody out there who's willing to help us in that regard or the regard for the travels to Germany and Austria next year, you're always welcome to get in touch with us. Let's get back to the question memory. I think you gave a question back to me, so now it's my turn again, and I will go for another question about South Africa. In which way South Africa as a country has to change, Mr. Steinhage?
The education system. The education system leaves a tremendous amount of room for improvement. I remember reading a study back in 2009 that compared the level of education in developing countries, and South Africa was ranked so far down, it was shocking. And in my personal opinion, you cannot improve or make a country self-sustainable in the long term if you don't educate its children. So something needs to change drastically with the education system. And that's why we do as much as we can for education. And if you look at where we were 7 years ago or even 4 years ago compared to now, I mean, our education side has probably quadrupled in size. We have two full-time teachers, we have a classroom, we have scholarships, and that's ultimately how we're going to change the lives, is more with education than with soccer. And why not have a combination of the two? So, yeah, education is the answer.
Education is the answer, and I think in these days to get hold of, to reach the children, you have to instrumentalize education, and we use soccer as an instrument. And there are many other ways to
Instrumentalize, yeah.
instrumentalize soccer. And yeah, as Madiba said, education is the most powerful weapon to change the world, and hopefully. It's not just us, but many others, and especially the government in South Africa, who will step up the game a lot soon. Okay,
Do
next
I get to ask
question.
you a question?
Yes, out of which stack?
Number two,
It's Young Bafana.
seeming though that is what this podcast's about, right?
Yeah, right.
Describe the background where our players come from.
So, yeah, we talked about that in our last podcast already. So yeah, as many know, you can't put them into wrong one group because we have two groups we reach out to. Let's say I'd name it now better privileged kids than underprivileged kids. I think the background where underprivileged kids come from is the more how can I say yeah shocking background, the more dangerous background. Yeah, they stay in townships. Townships are the areas in South Africa where the poor people live. You have a huge percentage of employment, which is around 50%.
Unemployment.
Unemployment, sorry. And yeah, the ones who work, they are barely able to feed the families. And yeah, it's a rough background. The communities faces lots of problems in terms of drug abuse, early
Teenage pregnancy.
teenage pregnancy, that was what I was looking for, and early abortions. And it's quite hard to, I mean, to hear all those stories. But that's the background they come from. And as I always say when I talk about this, at first it's really shocking to find a to enter a world which is so different to the standard we are used to, coming from a better privileged background or a better privileged country like Germany, in my case. But also you find a lot of great values at the end. And yeah, I could talk about this for hours now, with all the experiences I had with people who inspired me, by coming from those backgrounds. And it's yeah, many things need to change, but other things, as the constitution of where they come from, are quite valuable.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, another personal question for you, Bernardo. But before I ask you that question, I want to thank our listeners for joining us by listening to this first part of the third Young Bafana podcast.
enjoy the next part and get to know more about band Leonard Yang Bafana, South Africa, and many more.